Chapter 10. Fagin. I sit in the car park for 20 minutes, staring at Blue's email on my phone. Spire, the one who watches. So yes, he's guessed who I am. Maybe I wanted him to know. I left enough clues for him. Maybe I was really stupid with the Cal thing. What was I thinking? Blue-green eyes and a feeling that Blue was Cal? But he didn't see Martin's post. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. I log out of my email and walk into school without seeing or hearing anyone. People speak to me and I smile, but say nothing. I can hear some guys laughing at me, but I don't care. All I can think about is Blue. I can't believe that Blue won't tell me who he is, now that he knows who I am. I start looking for clues everywhere. So, when school ends and nothing has happened, I feel my heart breaking. On Thursday, Cal very quietly tells me that he's bisexual and maybe we should spend some time together. I stare back at him. Cal is sweet with his ocean eyes, but he's not Blue. Blue, who has almost stopped replying to my emails. On Monday, there's a green shopping bag hanging on my locker. It's got a t-shirt in it with a picture from Elliot Smith's song, Figure Eight. There's a note, too. Elliot knows that you wanted to go to his shows. The handwriting is perfect, and I notice that he has remembered the second T in Elliot's name. I think about putting the t-shirt on immediately, but it's too strange. Because I still don't know who he is. So I put it back in the bag, and for a short time, I'm happy. But then I go to rehearsal, and suddenly everything changes. It's because of Cal. He's leaving the auditorium to go to the bathroom when I arrive, and he smiles at me. And suddenly, I feel really angry. Blue is a coward. He's put a t-shirt on my locker door, but he won't tell me who he is. Everything is wrong. Now, there's this really cute guy who maybe even likes me, but I can't do it. I can't be with him. I'll probably never have a boyfriend. I'm too busy being in love with someone who isn't real. The rest of the week is very tiring. Rehearsals are an hour longer now. I come home late and eat my dinner standing up in the kitchen. I don't see much of my parents. I keep the t-shirt under my pillow, but there's still been no email from Blue. Friday will be a big day. We will be doing Oliver twice in costume, in front of the younger students in the morning and the older students in the afternoon. The morning is crazy. Everyone is running everywhere, and the orchestra is with us for the first time. Taylor is already in costume and has her makeup on. She's practicing a song. Martin can't find his beard. Abby puts on my eye makeup, then stands back. Do I look stupid? I ask. No, she says. You actually look amazingly hot. The morning show goes really well. The audience laugh and shout and clap their hands. We take off our costumes and go for lunch. I've still got my makeup on, and Leah keeps talking about it. You look great, she says. I never knew that your eyes are really gray. I feel a bit uncomfortable and notice that cute Bram is staring at me. We meet back in the auditorium after lunch. We put our costumes back on, and the orchestra begins to play quietly. Abby and I watch from behind the stage as the older students fill the seats. This is the show I'm excited about, because I know that Blue will be in the audience. I'm still angry with him and think he's a coward, but I like thinking about him being here. Suddenly, I feel a hand on my arm, and Ms. Albright says,
"Simon, can you come with me, please?"
She takes me to the dressing room, which is full of costumes. Martin is there, sitting on a chair with his beard in his hands. I decide not to look at him.
"Something has just happened,"
Ms. Albright says, and she pulls a seat out for me.
"And I wanted to talk to both of you about it first."
I get a bad feeling in my stomach.
"Someone wrote on the cast list in the auditorium," she says. "They've changed the names of Fagin and Fagin's boy."
"To what?"
asks Martin. But I guess immediately. "They took away the I and the N," I say.
"Oh,"
he says quietly.
"Cal will change the cast list back to what it should be," Ms. Albright says, "and I will go outside now and talk to the audience about bullying."
"Will you stop the play?"
asks Martin.
"Would you like me to?"
asks Ms. Albright. Martin looks at me. "No, it's fine. Don't stop it," I say. Because I really want Blue to see the play. I don't know why it matters, but it does. Martin puts his face in his hands.
"I'm really sorry, Spire."
"Stop it." I stand up. "Okay? Stop." I'm feeling very tired as I watch Ms. Albright walk out onto the stage. The audience shouts and claps. Abby puts her arm round me. Ms. Albright holds up a paper.
"You will all remember this paper that you signed at the beginning of this year," she says loudly.
The audience slowly goes quiet.
"Do you remember signing it? It's about bullying in school."
She continues to talk to them in a very serious voice for several minutes. I hear the words, "not allowed" and "will be suspended." Then she reads from the paper. Finally, she walks back across the stage with a serious face and joins us.
"Let's do this," she says.